This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Emmanuel Ottolenghi of the Foundation of the Defense of Democracies to have followed the story of two warships, Iranian warships, one a converted oil tanker, which is heavily laden, another a frigate, in the South Atlantic, headed to the Iranian Navy, says the Mediterranean, in a TV presentation in Iran. The speculation is that it could be the Caribbean. Where in the Caribbean? Emmanuel, a very good evening to you. In the context of the JCPOA negotiations in Vienna, how do these warships suit Tehran, given that they've deployed for the first time warships into the Atlantic, to my knowledge? Good evening to you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. The Iranians have for decades looked to Latin America as a fertile ground for their ideological penetration, despite the fact that Latin America on paper is overwhelmingly Christian. The Iranians have correctly identified political movements and trends leaning heavily towards anti-Americanism, and understood correctly that there was potential for building up alliances. And what better way to conduct their anti-American crusade in the world than starting in America's backyard? So that's where the origins of their focus on Latin America is. Now, this ideological trend, of course, peaked in the late 1990s, early 2000, when first Hugo Chavez came to power in Venezuela, and then following his election, you had a kind of a wave of his Bolivarian ideology take over other countries. And the Iranians banked on that, and they built a very strong relationship with Venezuela that allowed them to evade sanctions during the pre-nuclear deal era, but also have come handy for Venezuela as its economy started to collapse, because Venezuela also needed help evading sanctions. So the two countries have drawn closer to one another, have built up all sorts of devious schemes to evade sanctions, to plunder natural resources, feeding corruption in the process. And, of course, that access to Venezuela has allowed Iran to deploy agents and operatives in Latin America, build up its soft power outreach to the region, and now, also pursue perhaps a much bolder strategy, which, if the destination of these ships is correct, involves deploying its navy for the first time in its history in the Atlantic and potentially in the Caribbean Sea. And it's, of course, a direct challenge to U.S. dominance in the region.
You have published, you have posted a dispatch connecting these warships with the Biden administration's ambitions to reawaken JCPOA. At the same time, the Biden administration and others have warned Iran that these warships are not welcome in the Caribbean, in the New World, and especially because they're provocative. The puzzle here is, what options does Washington have if, and this is an if, these warships, heavily laden warships with what we're told are fast attack boats on deck that the satellites can see, if they are headed for Venezuela waters, what are the options for Washington to stop them?
So let's start first with thinking what it is that the Iranians are doing if the ships indeed are heading to Venezuela. You know, sending weapons by boat seems a bit silly because the Iranians have established a plane route to get to Venezuela. They have had numerous flights crisscrossing the Atlantic in recent months. They could very easily disassemble those ships and weapons, put them on cargo, and fly them over. It would be simpler, and intelligence gathering on such flights would be harder. Whereas when you have things on the deck of a boat that travels 8 knots into the sea, it's easier to gather information about it. So I think it's an act of it's a challenge. It's an act of defiance. It's saying, we are doing this and you can't stop us. And of course, this comes within the context of the JCPOA negotiations in Vienna, where the U.S. wants at all costs to rejoin the JCPOA. And the Iranians, of course, know that they have leverage, despite their weak end, because their economy is not doing great, because there is a lot of friction in the region around issues unrelated to the nuclear program. But they know that the U.S. wants to steal at all costs. And so all of these actions are provocations to test the Americans and to see how far the Biden administration is prepared to go to countenance Iranian provocation. And sending the ships is a statement. I mean, the strategic significance of these boats is limited. The accomplishment of delivering 7 fast boats is also limited and could have been done in a different way. But to do it in plain sight in such a way is a way to poke the United States in the eyes. Is to say, we can do this and you're not going to stop us. And if you try to stop us, there's going to be a major incident, and that incident may impact the negotiations. So it puts the Biden administration into a very difficult position.
There are sanctions on Iran for weapons buying. Do those sanctions apply to this instance if they're off Venezuela waters?
Well, it's tricky because, you know, the U.S. has an arms embargo on Venezuela, but that applies to U.S. sales. The European Union equally has an arms embargo that was instituted in the context of European sanctions from 2017. It's been renewed, but that also only applies to sanctions, to sales by European companies. So this is a third party sending weapons to Venezuela. What the U.S. can do is just to invoke all sorts of, security concerns by the Navy for the security of the Caribbean basin. And as you know, the Southcom has an ongoing mission in the region to interdict drug trafficking and organized crimes activity. So with those authorities, I think they have a fair amount of latitude to stop those ships, board them, seize them, seize the cargo. But if they do that, of course, the Iranians may try to resist and create an international incident. So that is the kind of concern that one would have. And so I would expect the Biden administration, now that they made a clear public statement saying you can't do this, so they can't say that and then let the Iranians sail through. What I do expect the Biden administration is to try to convey to the Iranians that this is a bad idea through diplomatic channels. In other words, do it quietly. And to the credit of the Biden administration, they have already done this when it comes to Iranian flights to Venezuela. Iranian flights to Venezuela have been carrying heavy cargo, clearly, for a while, because all the flights going from Tehran to Caracas make a technical refueling stopover somewhere halfway between the two points on the way to Venezuela, but fly directly back to Tehran. So the plane back is clearly lighter. And every time they stop somewhere, be it Belgrade or Algiers or Tunis or Dakar, the next flight no longer stops at that destination.
Right,
so clearly the U.S. has been putting quite pressure on these countries and capitals. And in one case, actually, an Iranian plane was on its path to landing at an airport halfway between the two countries. And at 8,000 feet, the airplane suddenly turned around and picked up altitude and had to go somewhere else to land. So clearly there's been quite pressure to block or interdict or, you know, impact these flights. And so I would expect the Biden administration to do the same with these ships, precisely because they want to find a careful balance between the political objective of preventing Iran from delivering on this mission, but also not jeopardizing the talks or giving the Iranians a pretext to walk away.
Emmanuel Ottolenghi, of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies watching two Iranian warships in the South Atlantic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.